Thank you for coming back. So our 2019 Worship Puerto Rico crew came back and did a sit-down discussion about their experience in visiting the island of Puerto Rico. So please sit back and enjoy this discussion of all of their different perspectives of what they experienced while volunteering for this project. It's our crew, so we went back a third time and we did everything that we thought we were gonna do. Sarissa and I made a plan. We were gonna go and rebuild someone's home that got destroyed, and so we did that. We went there and we had a wonderful time. So this is the crew. I'm Cinnamon, this is my husband.
Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean.
I'm Ruth. I like that woman.
Yeah,
I'm
Dakota.
Hello, I'm Susan.
Hello, I'm Kyle.
So this is our group. So let's talk about on your tables, you have something called the Puerto Rican Diaspora, written by Dr. Juan Carmona, raise your hand, sir. And if you want to explain a little bit about the book, like
5 minutes, and then we'll go into what we did while we were there. This is important to kind of understand about Puerto Rican people and their history.
Okay, the book focused more, for those of you who have had a chance to read it, it focused more on the diaspora, the Puerto Ricans who live here on the mainland. But in the initial chapter, I spoke about Puerto Ricans on the island, their history, and also their ancestors, the indigenous people as well as the African slave trade and the history of European colonization, their role in forming what we know as Puerto Rico today. So again, it focuses more on the Puerto Ricans here on the mainland, but there is a piece that deals with Puerto Ricans on the island itself.
Thank you. So that book is available to purchase. These are books that we took down to Puerto Rico. If anybody's interested in purchasing them, they are there for you to look at while you're here. And if you want to buy it and read it, it's an easy read. It's a wonderful read. It'll give you a lot of history. So our trip started in the airport. We thought we were going to have some pictures up here today, but we don't. I didn't bring my remote to my Apple TV, so we don't have any pictures, so we'll just have to tell you about it. So our trip started in the airport. I asked everybody to pack in a book bag. So I think I want to start there and talk about the book bag journey. So the reason why I asked everybody to pack in a book bag was because of all of the charges nowadays. When you fly, they charge you when you fly the cheapy deepy airlines, they charge you for every bag that you bring on. So personal item you can bring, which is considered a purse or a book bag, but a carry-on they charge you for, and a big luggage they charge you for. So I asked everybody to pack in one book bag so we could get down there in the cheapest way possible. And so I'm just going to hand it over to them and let them tell you. I did this. Sarissa and I did this our first time. Yeah?
Yep.
So we did it, so we were good. So how was it for you, Sean? Yeah, don't worry about it.
It wasn't really a big deal for me, just because as a guy, you know, we're not carrying that much stuff like the female counterparts.
That one next to him.
She's a perfect example of what not to do when you pack in one bag.
I think that was the most challenging
of ever.
Give her this. I think I learned more just from that one thing.
Yeah, you're good.
Of packing. Backpack. I prayed and asked God for the right backpack. But I did learn. It was the most unselfish act you could do, is try to pack for that many days in one backpack and yet have four huge pieces of luggage full of clothes, not for you, but for the people in Puerto Rico. That was amazing.
Yeah, we did. So what she's talking about is we did bring some big luggage pieces, but those luggage pieces were filled with clothes and items that we were going to give away.
Correct.
So we did have maybe one bag that was designated for overflow items that we had. And then I think three of the bags were filled with items that we were giving away. Clothes, we pulled out things from our closets. So that's what she's saying. Book bag full of our personal things, big luggage full of giveaways.
Yeah.
What about you, sir? I don't think you had to pack in a book bag.
Not really. I just packed the essentials, which was like clothes and deodorant.
Oh, yeah.
Underwear?
Yeah. That counts as clothes. So, yeah.
Yeah, they cheated. They bought bags.
Totally, I know.
So there were four of us coming. So my husband, Tony, paid for four carry-on bags, but we were able to share them, and so we had two personal. So, but Tony and I, we just had a regular, you know, small-size carry-on, and so Tony and I packed in that one, and then we had one for the boys, and they both packed in that one. So it was still a small space, but it was fun.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's nothing like a good challenge. Out of all the places that I've traveled, I've never carried a book bag. I didn't know how that was going to work. So my main thing was to find a book bag that was big enough, or in my mind, big enough to fit all of my things that I thought I needed. Surprisingly, I was able to pack 7 outfits. That includes everything, like undergarments, pajamas, socks, everything, and shoes. But on the way back, I got a little happy when we got to do some shopping. And I didn't care how I got my things back. I stuffed bags inside of bags and other people's bags and was able to get the things that I wanted and still have that book bag. And we're actually going to be doing that again. The girls and I are going to be traveling soon, and we're taking a book bag, not luggage.
To me, it was a cliff. It looked like a cliff to me.
Yes.
It was really high, and we had to jump into the water below that I was terrified, absolutely terrified to jump off of. And so, of course, these guys, more Claudia, they were like, do it, just jump. And they had already jumped. You had already jumped?
I was hesitant, but I did it.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I finally, Sean, he was my hero. He was like, I'll go change my clothes and I'll jump with you. And I was like, okay. So we're at the top of this cliff, and he's talking to me now, like he's making sure that I know the plan. And he's like, we're gonna hold hands and we're gonna jump. But when we jump, you can't not jump. You have to jump. You can't, like, I can't jump. And then you don't jump because we're in trouble if I jump and you don't jump, because he would go splash on the side of the rock. So I was like, okay. You got the whole crew like in the river going, 1, 2. And finally I jumped. It wasn't that easy. It took a little while to make that jump. But my husband went like flying up in the air. I don't know how this happened.
Ragdoll.
like a rag doll. And I just, we were still holding hands, but see, as he was coaching me, he never said, once you jump, let go of my hand. He didn't say that. And so I was trying to follow every instruction. Okay, jump, make sure that when they get to three, I gotta jump, I can't chicken out, we gotta get like right to the end. I was following every instruction except that one he didn't actually say. I guess it was just assumed that I would let go, but I didn't let go. So he went like flying up, and it's a great video. I think it's on the Worship Puerto Rico page. I'll let you tell that version. No, you're good. That's not his version. His version's a little bit different. But anyway, that was a wonderful moment. So let me pass this to Kai so she could tell us about her moment.
You can do it, Kai.
So, like Cinnamon, I was terrified. There was a rope that everyone was swinging from, like Tarzan, jumping into the river. I don't do rivers or lakes, but I figured, hey, I'm here, we're in Puerto Rico, just do it. So, Susan escorted me to the river because I was too chicken to go by myself. And she tried to be supportive. And so the first time I got on the rope, I swung out into the middle of the river, but I did not let go. And so I swung back to the riverbank and landed perfectly out on this tree stump, and we were all laughing. And so at that point, I was like, you know what, I'm over here, I might as well do it, just do it. You only live once, just do it. It took me a little while, but eventually I swung out on the rope and let go. Everybody was cheering, just like they were cheering Cinnamon on. There was this one, I guess, local guy in the water. We'll name him Enrique. He was just
like... What was it? He was like this old sexy guy. Yeah,
he kept calling. He's like, guy, doing this chant and saying, you can do it, and I'm here for you. He actually waited in the water until I jumped or let go of the rope. But it was amazing. When I came up, I was still afraid. I was like, oh my God, I did it. So...
These were some of the team building moments that we had. Everybody here got in that river. Where were you that day? Oh, she didn't come to the river. But these were some of the team building moments that we had. So, and this was before we actually went to go do our work. And so by the time it was time to go do the work that we were there to do, we had already like seen each other's worst, best and worst. And so it just made things so easy. But I want to go ahead and transition to our shopping day, which Susan has an incredible story to tell you about the shopping day. What we did during our shopping day was we had a pre-planned sort of plan of how we would divide and conquer this whole like shopping for the items that we needed. And so some went this way, some went that way, some went this way. I think we divided into three. And so Susan was with my mom.
No, I went with you to Home Depot.
You went with me to Home Depot. Who was with you? Claudia and Sarissa. Who's we've lost connection with here. So anyway, Susan had an incredible moment with a woman there, and mind you, we had been preparing for a concert we were gonna do, and so I'll let Susan tell you about that moment.
Oh, did it go bye-bye? That's okay.
Yeah, So the guys were shopping, and they were shopping for the essential supplies for the construction that we were going to do. And it was in a shopping center, you know, like a strip mall like we have here, of course. And so Home Depot was there, and then there were other stores, like clothes and shoes, you know. And so while the boys were shopping for the concrete and stuff like that, Sarissa and Claudia and I went down to the shoe store. And so we went down there, and so we walked in, and there was some other customers, and this woman caught my eye. She was a tall, pretty, slim woman, older woman, and we kind of made eye contact, and she smiled and winked at me, and I was like, oh, she's so sweet, you know, like it was just like this moment. And then we were shopping and looking around, and my eye just kept being drawn back to her. And So often when you're on a trip like this, it makes you aware of the Holy Spirit and wanting to keep our eyes open for what he wants to do, not only for what we're there to do, but also for little moments in between where he could speak to you and have you speak to somebody. So I was kind of looking out for that, and just me getting her attention and her grabbing mine, I was like, oh Lord, I think you might have something to say to her, you know? But the moment kind of went by, and she was shopping and I was shopping, and then she was walking out, and I was like, oh, I should stop her and see what God has to say, because I didn't really get anything like, go and tell her this, you know? I just kind of felt like she was highlighted, and so, but I also thought maybe she didn't speak English and I don't speak Spanish. I'm learning now though, yay. And so there, I thought there would be a language barrier, and then it just, she left and I was like, oh well, I didn't do it. Okay, never mind, you know? And so we were finishing in that store and we walked out and we went left to some more shopping on this side. And we were about to walk into a store, another store, and she was walking out as we were walking in. And so I was like, all right, I am not going to miss it this time. And so I grabbed Claudia, you know, who spoke Spanish. And I said, help me, Claudia, I want to speak to this woman, you know. And so I started speaking to her, and she understood me. She spoke English. So, of course, you know, like God just kind of sets it up and makes it easy, you know. So I was able to share with her, and I didn't really know what I was going to say until I started opening my mouth and talking to her. But it was just a simple word that God had me say to her, was just that God sees her and he loves her, and his eyes are on her, basically. You know, he sees her and he hears her prayers, and he knows that he knows where she is, and that he's setting his love on her. And so she was just overwhelmed. She started tearing up right away, and just because she said that she was in church that morning and had just prayed that, like, Lord, do you see me? Do you know where I am? Do you really love me? You know? And so God just gave me the answer to her, even though I didn't know any of that. And it was just a reminder to me, but also I think to everybody, just that God can use us at any time, in any place, and to just stay open. And I also, it makes me want to be more like that here, you know, not just when I'm on a trip, but Lord, help me to keep my eyes open all the time for what you have. So.
That was just one of the incredible moments. I'm actually going to give the mic to Sean now, because there was another really incredible moment with the guys. So one of the challenges that we had while we were there that I had thought about a little bit, but not tons, was I had made a connection with a woman by the name of Angie, in which whose home we went to go fix. But I made the connection with her, right? It was woman to woman, and we had been talking all the way up to our third trip with the crew, but had never made the connection with her husband. So now here we're coming to Puerto Rico to fix her home, and Tony, Susan's husband, in one of our meetings while we were still here, said, so have you talked to the husband about, like, you know, all this work you're gonna do? We're gonna go there, and is he gonna be okay with this? And so anyway, that was one of the things that we needed to make sure we took care of once we got there. And so he was okay with it. At first he said, just have him bring the supplies and we'll go from there. I'll do the work, just have him bring the supplies. And we thought, oh gosh, we're not going to Puerto Rico so we can buy you supplies and then you can do the work. We want to do it for you. And anyway, so we got past that. He finally said it was okay for us to come. So day one, we're there doing the work that needed to be done, and he wasn't there. And you could see that Angie was getting a little bit antsy, right? A little bit anxious, like, where's her husband? There are 12 strangers in her house doing all this work. People are laying concrete on the walls and painting bathrooms, and there's no husband there. And so finally, at some point, he shows up, but he was still, you know, a little not warm to us yet. And we had a little bit more work to do the very next day. And this is when a really incredible miracle took place. The guys alone went back the second day. Girls did all the work the first day along with the guys. But the second day, just the guys went back. They gave us a little break because we had a big concert that night. So we stayed home and we chilled out and worked on music while they went back. So I'm going to let Sean tell you the story of what happened with Eduardo. Not Eduardo. Eduardo's the musician.
Eddie Vito.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, from a standpoint of being a male, I could definitely understand maybe the things that he was going through that maybe he didn't know how to express, being that, you know, we have a bunch of people, Americans, coming into my home to help, but it feels like maybe it's an indictment on me as a male that I can't do this myself. And so that was one of my unexpressed concerns, because I could just, because I know maybe I would feel that way, even if I would be happy about it. Your perception of what people think of you is oftentimes what runs through our minds and what actually think of us. So when we got there the first day, we were unloading. You know, he was very eager to help unload, but he was back and forth a lot. He would leave, you know, first he started out helping, especially on the concrete, and him and the other gentleman got one wall done really quickly. I'm thinking like, man, at this pace, we're gonna be done in a couple of hours, because they were moving, because he knew what he was doing as well. I mean, that's why he said he could leave the supplies. We could leave the supplies, not because he would sell them, but he actually didn't know what he was doing. And so it was just, you know, a time where he was just kind of in and out, but he never really stayed. He never really helped, but he just in and out. And I really didn't know why. I thought maybe he was working, or maybe, you know, it just really wasn't my business, and I really wasn't too concerned, because again, you got a lot of people in your house, and it's not really even a house the way that we think of a house here in America. So it's very, very congested. There's not a lot of space. So, and it's warm, you know. So anyway, so he was in and out. But obviously, as the day grew, you could kind of tell that maybe he just didn't want to be around and while we were there. And so that day, you know, we left. But he was, again, very content. But, you know, when we said goodbye to him, he was smiling, you know, very grateful. But the next day, when we got back, it was just the guys, but we had got there maybe an hour before the other guys that helped us were already there. So Eddie and them, they were already working on finishing up the wall. They were like almost pretty much 70% done of what we needed to finish up for that second day. And his posture was very, very different, because I think what it was that the other two gentlemen that were there before we got there were from Puerto Rico. They were from the island. They spoke Spanish. So it would be the equivalent of going, you know, like you've been African American, and then you having two other African Americans there with you, versus, you know, people who don't know the culture, maybe don't know the language, don't, and they're different gender. So you got all these different types of things. So he was very, very comfortable, very, very happy, very, very talkative. And, you know, and then he wanted to fix us lunch. We were like, no, we're fine. But he insisted, so he fixed us lunch. And they fed us. They, you know, he brought us the food, just waited on us. And then we got, you know, we went back out and worked. Long story short is that, you know, we got done. He was extremely happy. He went to go take a shower, but then he had to go to work. And so we were about to leave, and he was, you know, like, wait. He comes running from the second story down the steps, barely with his clothes on, wet, because he wanted to hug us and say how thankful he was for us coming there to help him, which is very different than when it started. So he was very, very happy, very, very grateful. And I honestly think that he probably didn't know if these people were going to ever really come back. They said they're going to come back, but are they really going to come back? So we came back, we fulfilled our word, and we honored him. Last thing was that when we were putting up the light fixture in their kitchen, because they didn't have a light fixture in their kitchen. And so he had, that was the first day. So when I saw him come in, pulling on his motorcycle, I said, well, do you mind helping me, you know, set up the light fixture? He said, sure. So we get it set up, and then I told him, I want you to pull, you know, the string to cut a light on, you know, And maybe to us that wouldn't be a big deal, but I just felt like he needed to do it. And so we all kind of gathered around and like one, two, three, and just pulled a little switch. And a light comes on, everybody just goes, cheers. And you know, he's tears are in his eyes, wife is crying. And you know, so over time, you know, he softened up. And by the end, you know, he really loved and appreciated us.
I don't know about you guys, but like hearing the stories retold, it just kind of brings you back very quickly to those moments. We had so many wonderful moments along the journey that were unexpected moments. Some things we had no idea were going to happen the way they happened. I want to tell one more miracle story, but I actually want to save it till the end, and it's Donito's story. I want to tell that one. That one's a pretty incredible one. But I think at this point, I don't know if we should stop for questions or if we should just go down the line and tell our favorite part. There are so many favorite parts. How could we tell one? But let's just go down the line and tell our favorite part, okay? So actually, I had a lot of favorite parts, but if there's something that I think about often, it was our music sessions. So at night, after our either fun days or working days, we would come in before the sun went down because we were too high up on the mountain to be driving that thing in the dark. And we did drive it maybe once or twice. But we would come in and dinner, every meal we did together, which was phenomenal, it was wonderful. And of course, every dinner we did together. And so we'd eat, we would enjoy, and then afterwards, it was, you know, free time. And because we were preparing for a worship concert, which God totally put together, we didn't put that together. We just knew that we wanted to do worship while we were there, but we didn't know how. God put it all together. So every night we would get together and we would sing. And we weren't just singing, but we were singing in Spanish. And it's a big deal for us because even though I'm Puerto Rican, I speak Spanglish and more the English side than the Spanish side, right? So to sing songs in Spanish were a big stretch for me. And so Susan and I are like putting together words for songs, and then we throw Kai in there, who was like totally learning from the very beginning. Susan had sung, I guess, a couple of songs in Spanish before, but I don't think Kai had ever sung anything in Spanish. So we were using our resources, my mom and Claudia, to help us figure out what words worked and what concepts of words worked to translate the songs over. But those are my favorite moments, and there are some videos of those moments that were just wonderful, wonderful. Hello, Belamina.
Hi.
Grab a seat. You're up here. Hi. Sarissa, we'll let you tell yours. Hold on. Okay, go. Somehow I can't hear you. Are you muted?
Oh yeah, I was muted, sorry.
Okay, hold on.
It's a classic conference call, faux pas. I think my favorite experience, actually, Claudia's not here, but this is something we talked about on our way to.
Hang on one quick second. Hold on, I'm gonna try and put your volume up a little bit, okay?
Okay. I said I'm kind of speaking with, as far as me and Claudia, because this is something that we discussed on our way to the airport before the trip and also after. But one of the things that really I appreciated was, you know, I have a very interesting background when it comes to growing up with religion, and this trip really allowed me to be humbled and connect with, I kind of say mentors in the faith, Cinnamon, Sean, Susan, Tony, and Awilda and Tony's dad, the church that they had there, to have a couple different experiences that really were able to help me open my eyes and my heart to the relationship that I could have with God by the examples of other people. And when you guys were doing, you know, the music for worship night, And, you know, Claudia and I said, well, why don't we do something with dancing? You know, since they were doing praise dance. I've never done praise dance a day in my life. I've danced, grown up dancing, but, you know, it's completely different. And it was really a humbling experience because what they ended up doing for praise worship was a little bit different than what Claudia and I had planned. And so we were actually happy to take a step back and let them just kind of do what they did. And they were amazing at it, but they still wanted us to be a part of the experience with them. And I remember after going to worship that night and, you know, participating in the praise dance with the church, I called my dad and I said, I've never had an experience like this at church before. I really, really felt the Holy Spirit tonight. And I know something is working with our group and within me. And I'm really excited to see where God is going to take our project, where God's going to take me on whatever purpose and path that he has planned for me. So that's the experience that I had. I don't know. Sometimes I'm beyond words just kind of thinking about it. But it was just a reminder that what we are doing in Puerto Rico, what we were doing, was nothing short of being guided by his Holy Spirit. And he was using his Spirit to work through every single one of us that was there in ways that we didn't even, couldn't even think of, couldn't even fathom.
It's good. As you were talking, I was remembering that Sean preached and Claudia translated his sermon into Spanish, which was phenomenal. I don't know if that's his favorite moment. I'm going to let him tell his favorite moment. But anyway, I'm remembering that. There were so many moments. But anyway, here, Sean, what was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment actually is one that I haven't said to anybody, but it was Sunday morning when we were at the service, and I watched, it was Tony Sr., Tony Jr., and Jalen. Were you playing?
Yeah.
He was playing, but they were sitting together, and I took a picture of it. And obviously, he would have been sitting right there as well, so I'm including him. I looked at it and I said, wow, three generations loving Jesus. You know, that for me was my favorite moment of the entire trip, because that's what we all strive for, is to have our faith go into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to see that, them sitting there with such dignity, and they probably didn't even realize it, that I took the picture. But I just thought that was my favorite moment, actually, out of the entire trip.
Well, I have a favorite moment, but I also have a favorite lesson that I kind of knew because my husband and I have spoken about it often when it came to ministry in other areas. But often when people go to another place to minister, you tend to have this attitude, especially when you come from America for whatever reason, that you're going there to kind of hand down to these poor people something that they really need. And it's almost like a degrading kind of thing. This team learned quickly that we were actually going to embrace arm in arm with other people that were there, equal if not superior to us, because it's their land, their language, their area of expertise. We were learning as much as they were learning, if not more, to watch Susan's father-in-law and his wife serve us the way they did was a humbling experience. And if we didn't learn anything else, we learned when you go in to serve, whether it's in a jail, whether it's in another country, wherever it is, you have to go with the attitude that you're going to embrace arm in arm with others that are there and serve together. serve Christ in whatever that function is. So that was fun to watch. But my favorite moment was, and I still have pictures that make me giggle, was watching Susan's father-in-law going down the road on this red pickup with the big old white
refrigerator.
That we were taking to create or improve their kitchen. And it was like, wow, you can do this a lot of different ways. And it doesn't really matter how you do it, and it doesn't have to be the way somebody else thinks it should be done, but it was done. And then we went to an IKEA, which was amazing. There was an IKEA there, and able to really, like, with cabinets and lighting, like Sean said, actually transform this humble kitchen into something that was a lot more functional. Did we create this mansion? You know, I love Property Brothers. That's one of my favorite shows, HGTV, that's me. We didn't create that kind of thing, but we certainly created something that was a lot more functional, which is another thing. The way they live is very different from how we live. And where it might not have been an HGTV transformation home, to the people that live there, this was an amazing miracle, just the same, if not more.
Yeah.
And that was really, really wonderful to be a part of and experience.
It's good.
Stay tuned for more stories about Worship Puerto Rico. All right, we should be good.
So my favorite moment was it was just like the whole experience of having everybody in the same house, you know, eating the same food, and just like growing closer with all these people that I didn't like really know before. But we became like brothers and sisters like over that week. It was awesome.
This boy is funny. I'm just saying, he's really funny, and he had us laughing. Gosh, for 8 days.
Lord, brother.
Yeah.
Lord, brother.
Lord, brother from the northern region.
All right, so, oh, there's so many good moments, so many favorite moments, but I think one of the ones on the top are watching Angie. We got there and we were able to paint her bathroom. And it was Claudia and me and Jennifer and Sarissa, and we were painting her bathroom, and Angie kept coming in and peeking in at what was going on, you know, and she could tell, like, she was just so happy to see this. And it was just a, what was the color? Yeah, it was like
bone white.
And but we wouldn't let her help us, and you could tell that she really wanted to get in there, you know. But we had her sit down, and she was sitting on her chair, you know, and just watching this woman that serves every single day, you know, she's standing and she's cooking in the heat, you know, and serving other people. And getting to serve her, like getting to just have her sit and just, we're gonna do this for you just because you, God loves you, you know, and we get to love on you. And then just seeing her response when it was done, like she kept showing everybody the bathroom, and you know, every time someone new came in, she was like, come see the bathroom, you know. Like we would, if somebody, you know, like just, oh wow, it's new, it's wonderful, you know. And so that was one of my favorite moments. And I think just getting to hang out with my father-in-law,
yeah,
and Awilda, that was really, really fun, because they'd come to visit us and we've been there to visit them, but just, it felt like a really sweet time with them. And then watching
grandpa with the boys and, you know, with Tony, and he was so proud of them and showing them off at the church, and like, this is my son, this is my grandsons, you know, and just like, it was just, and I cried when we left because I was like, I don't want to leave a Pueblo. I don't want to leave a Pueblo. Can you come with us? But, but that was really cool.
So I actually have two bigger parts. The first one is when we went to the church service that Sunday. I was already nervous because I don't speak Spanish. I understand a little bit, but I don't understand a lot. And so to participate in a service where the language is a primary language that you don't know, you don't know what to expect. It's kind of like being at home when someone invites you to church. You're like, I don't know if I should go because I don't know, you know, what denomination are you? You know, you say things like that. But the experience I had was almost overwhelming. I could feel the Holy Spirit. Their service flowed just like the service at my church would. And I'll never forget that. And then just watching, I'll call them praise dancers. That was like very powerful to me to see all of them up there on one stage in one accord, just worshiping together. So that was one of my favorite memories. And then the other is our bond that we made with each other through dining together and laughing together. Every experience that we had together just made me realize how much back home we take for granted the family connection. It's just slowly, gradually going away. And it makes me want to make sure that I have that same influence or connection with my own children so that they carry that on with their own families as they grow up and become adults. Hi, y'all.
This is Wilhelmina. This is my mother-in-law, Sean's mom, and she met us 2 days in. So she missed the river, but everything else she participated in. Cool stuff.
I had two experiences that were my favorite. The first one was as we were working on the house, Miss Angie, and how concerned that she was walking and twisting her hands and I believe wanting to know where her husband was. And I think he came in a couple times and went back out and then, you know, it was almost like I could feel her heart thinking, oh God, where is he going now? And so I'm not later on that day when he came back and all the guys had got real busy and the boys as well as the men. And I saw her, I don't remember who the first person was, begin to extend him like, come on, you can get a brush or whatever they were doing, and included him because he had been coming in and going back out, not trying to get involved, like he was almost a stranger. And I saw the guys start reaching out to him and it seemed like it broke the barriers inside of him. And the reason why it blessed me so much, because it was men reaching to a man instead of a woman reaching to a man. Because we could have made him feel, done the same thing, but I think the effect was different, where these men have come from America and they're trying to do something for my family and they're reaching out for me. And I think that broke something in his own heart, and it kind of made me proud of our guys that nobody had to tell them to do it. It was just who they were and that's what they did. And I think and then after that, when we came in, when we finished, we came in and prayed, and he was quick to, because he didn't speak any English, he was quick to hold hands with us, and we prayed for him, and it seems like another wall began to fall as we prayed for, you know, for both of them, but also for him, because they had visited her last year. So some of us were strangers to her, and some of us was not, but we were all strangers to him. And I could see where the barriers for us, that we were no longer strangers once we prayed for him, but we were family. Yeah. I think that was super, super, super special for me. And then the other super, 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 super special experience for me was when we had the concert. And even though some of the songs was done, they were not in English, they were not in Spanish, they were in English. But how that church, I think I was amazed by the love of that church, that they were so friendly, they were so outgoing to you, they was extending their love, not like some of the churches we can go here and they act like they don't know you. Y'all know it is.
That doesn't happen here, what are you talking about?
But that wasn't the way they were. They were so warm to us from the time we stepped in the door. And when we began to sing, when they began to sing and play, some of the songs they sung in Spanish and some they sung in English. And you could just hear the church just get with them. You know, it's like a roaring coming from the backside. And then one lady said, I think when Sean preached, and that was so fantastic how I hadn't seen Pastor Sean preach with the interpreter, and Claudia interpreted for him, and she was excellent. And both of them are kind of average key tone people, but it was just amazing how to see them begin, the expectation of the people, their voices begin to grow and grow and grow, and his grew and hers grew, and it looked like the crowd just grew with them, and then somebody from the back said, "You better preach now." And we didn't hear any more English in the whole church. So we heard this from the back, and that was just so special. That was so, so special, those moments like that. And to me, mine was just those intimate. Those two things to me was very intimate, and I'll always remember them. The husband's wall breaking down by other men, and the church being the church, because that's what the church is, one that can reach out and show love toward the other. So those are my two special ones.
We're going to tell our last story and then be done. But I will tell you before we tell the last story that we're going back. And we are really excited about going back. I don't know how many of this crew will go back, but they have the first right of refusal. So we're taking 12 back. Depending on who doesn't go from this crew, those are how many slots we'll have open. Because we don't want to go beyond 12. It just might be a little bit too much this time. But the next time, we're planning on doing 24. But we will start, we go back for an assessment in September. We've already booked our flights. Myself and Claudia are going back in September. And then we go on our next big trip, March 26th through April 2nd. And I'm excited about it. I don't know if anybody here or anybody that's listening to the recording today has ever just had just a moment where you, like this window where you realize I have a passion for something, I'm passionate about this. And it's really a small window. It's nothing you would have thought about ever before in your life, but all of a sudden something just sparks and you're like, wait a minute, I really love that, I wanna do that. And then God just like blows on it and you realize that you're in the middle of something that he predestined way before you even got to the moment where you realized you wanted to be a part of it. He was already working it out in the background and knew that you were gonna get to that point. And as soon as I said yes, it's like the days of planning and work and experience, it's just all opened up, and it's just beautiful for me to hear everybody's experience, to hear everybody's story, because it just started with a willing heart. That's where it started. There's nothing like grand about it. There's nothing like no big organization, corporate America, nothing like that. It was just a willing heart and a heart to love people and say, gosh, nobody should have to live like that. If nobody's gonna help, I'll go. I'll go. And from that willingness opened up to all of this, and it's just amazing. I love every single one of these folks that went with us, and we're so much closer now. And Dakota and I were laughing at the food table, and we said, feels like we never left, huh? He was like, yep, I was gonna say that same thing. It was amazing being on that hill with all these people. It was wonderful. So we are going back. So if you're interested in going back, then please let me know. We start the payments in September. It's $125. I think five, Sarissa, are you on five or six?
Not the trip.
But I can't hear you. You have me muted? Five payments of 125? Yeah, five payments of 125. I think that puts us at the same place where we were, which was 625, and that worked out for us financially. And it works out because $125 is an easy payment to make over 5 months. So it's September, October, we skip November, December, it's January, February, and then March, and then we're out again.
Yeah.
Super, super exciting. So anyway, if anybody's interested in going, please, you can visit cinnamonruthleggett.com. There's a page there for Worship Puerto Rico. You can also go to facebook.com/worshippuertorico, and the information is there. So we'll close out with Tonito's story, which is a really incredible story. Does anybody here in particular want to tell it? I mean, I don't mind telling it. I'll just tell it. Okay. So I had this wonderful grand plan that we were gonna go to Puerto Rico and we were gonna rebuild Angie's home and we were gonna plaster her walls. Well, and then I of course said, she's laughing, and then I of course said, well, you know, we'll do other things while we're there. We'll plant a garden, we'll do all these other things, but we can do this. It's not a big deal to plaster a wall. It's like painting, right? It's like painting. And so
I live with that mentality. I just want y'all to know that. I live with that mentality.
So I was like, this is fine. This is no big deal. We'll get down there and we'll plaster her walls. And so I can't remember how it came about. It might have been Tony's dad that was like, does anybody know how to plaster
walls? Well, I think Tony started the conversation first. Like, I think Tony's dad and asked the question, yes, or
yeah. So anyway, long story short, nobody knew how to plaster any walls. So what was wonderful is that God sent us this man by the name of Tonito. Well, I don't think Tonito knew that he was coming to help us until the day before, okay? So he was in church the day before, which was a Sunday. Our big work day was the following day, a Monday. And Tony's dad, who's also Tony, said, hey, I have this guy that wants to come with us and help us tomorrow do the walls. Turns out, Tonito is like a master plasterer. I don't know if that's what you call it, but he's a masonry, is that what you call it? Okay. This man could plaster some walls. I mean, he was, you mix the stuff, right?
So you don't even know what to do.
No.
She don't even know what to do, but yeah, she had us doing it.
Yeah. So the guys did the plastering of the wall stuff. So you mix the stuff, you put it on like a, I don't know, something, and then you like scoop it and put it on the wall, paint it on the wall. And it looked so easy, but apparently for every move that Tonito made very easily, the guys were like, and they couldn't really, you know, like lift the spatula to like put it, because it's hard, it's concrete that you're putting on the wall. So, of course, we have day one of plastering, and the guys, because the girls didn't have to do the stuff, we sweat, but the guys were really sweating trying to plaster some walls. Then the next day, the guys went back. That's when this whole miracle with the husband took place. But before the guys got there, Tonito had gone early ahead of them, and he was already almost done, him and Angie's husband, Eddie Vierto. So anyway, we found out at the church service, we did not know this, but Tonito was a part of the church, went to the church service with us. Now our work is all done. We've completed the job. And after the church service, Tonito begins to tell us how he actually, like what happened prior to him coming to us. He said that he was in church that morning, that Sunday morning, right? That Sunday morning, he was in service. Remember, we didn't know he was coming till Sunday afternoon. And our work was on Monday, okay? So Sunday morning service,
he looks at his hands. I don't know at what point of the service this happened during worship. He looks at his hands, and his hands were glowing. And it was incredible, like as he's explaining to us what transpired prior to him getting to us.
Let me say this real quick. If you were to meet and talk with him, he's not a one that would bull jive you. You know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, he wouldn't make something up. He's very class personified. Like you could tell he walked with integrity. So he wasn't just saying that to be spiritual. I just want to make that very clear. He wasn't a spooky guy.
No. So he goes on to tell us, we had planned to do something special for him, to give him some money for all the help that he had, you know, done for us, or all the work that he had done for us. And so we're in a circle, and he's explaining to us what the Father had done the day before, in his hands glowing. And I knew, and we all knew, that God was preparing him and giving him the strength to do the work that he did, because it turns out that the work that we did in a day and a half was really work intended for multiple days, like 2 or 3 days. But they did it in a day and a half, not even, a day and a couple of hours. In heat, it was so hot, like where we're sitting in right now, it was so hot. And it was just incredible to imagine that God prepared him before we even knew that we...
So he said when he saw his hands glowing, he didn't know why, because he didn't know he was going to be helping us yet. So he was like, whoa, what is this? What am I seeing? And he didn't understand it until the next day when he came to help us and he started doing all that hard work. But I think Tony's dad had asked him that afternoon after church. So he didn't know he was going to come do this when he saw that.
Wow.
Yeah, so as we're encircling him, you know, now 2 days later, 2 days later from the glowing of the hands, he's telling us what had happened in the service before. And as he's showing us his hands, he's saying, and my hands were glowing. Sean said, and now we're going to fill your hand. I don't remember the exact words, but he said, and now we're going to fill your hands. And we put the money in his hands because we were afraid he wasn't going to take the money, because we knew he was there for the heart of it, you know. It was a wonderful moment. And there were so many moments like this, guys, that told us to keep going. We knew that God was with us. We knew that this trip was like accidentally on purpose. All of us knew that by the time we got to the end of it. And it was incredible to watch God move in this particular way.
And he was going on a mission trip.
He was going on a mission trip, So anyway, this was our trip to Puerto Rico. Anybody have any questions? And then we're going to close out, eat, and clean up. You have a question? Oh, you forgot? But if you do have a question, I'd love to catch it on the mic.
So, Cinnamon, you had told me a little bit about the trip, I think, a few weeks ago. And my question to you was about sustainable living. And what were there any opportunities to sort of help the people there? I don't know how to say it, but help them to use the resources there to kind of sort of continue your work.
Mm-hmm. So
that was, I'm sorry? Part of that, a good part of that, sustainability is super important, was the garden. Because in addition to the house, Cinnamon and I had gone and purchased like pepper plants, tomato plants, things that would encourage her to begin and regain control of the food sources for herself. I think as a Puerto Rican, I know that part of the problem with Puerto Rico is that, and especially after Maria, but even prior to that, the people have forgotten how to be self-reliant. And so they end up giving up a lot of the gardening and farming, and now they end up having to purchase things from Santo Domingo and other countries. And a big part of the problem is that. And even if it was in a small way, I think that it stirred up in her to remind her that, yes, I can be self-sustaining. And I think the garden was a big part of that, don't you?
It was. Really interesting to me how they're in this island that can grow everything at any time because it's always like the perfect climate. It was hot, but the nights cooled down. Anyway, they can grow anything at any time. But it's not like you're driving around seeing people with all kinds of food growing in their yards. You're not seeing it. And actually, Sean was watching a documentary and I was eavesdropping, and turns out that, yeah, the people, even though they live in this beautiful island that could grow anything at any time and be self-sustainable at any time they want to, somehow they feel like their resource is another place and that they don't have the resources within their own, you know, sphere, within their own island. They're so used to, honestly, I really think, and Dr. Carmona can chime in on this, but I really think it comes from the colonization part of our history, that their minds were colonized into thinking that they could not, that they're not able to be self-sustaining. And so their minds are still imprisoned. They might be free, but they're not free because they don't know that they can do this. So the opportunities, which I think is what you're asking about also, are huge. And actually, as we think about what our next project is, one of the things that I have tossed around with our administrative team, so Sarissa and Claudia are two project managers, and I've tossed this idea around with them in our meetings over the last week, was to obtain a piece of land and begin a garden that was more community driven, a community garden where the people are involved, and have Angie come in. And I mean, I don't know if we're gonna do that. We're still trying to narrow down what we're gonna do when we go back. But if we go family to family to family, we can do that and it will help each family. But how do we help on a greater scale, free people from the mentality of somehow somebody else needs to provide for us? They can provide for themselves. So what if, these are some of my questions, right? Like, what if we had a plot of land where we grew things, we had cisterns where we collected water, we had solar panels where we collected the sun. What if we did that? And in this small community, made this small community begin to go towards the area of being sustainable and change their mind about how they live and how they think about their resources that they have on the island. So this is kind of one of the things that I'm thinking about. So the opportunities to do that are huge because this isn't something that's common across the island. You have farmers, of course, but what has happened is Americans with money or other countries with money have come in, bought the farmers, bought the land, and they are growing things that are not, they're not local things. Like Goya is not a Spanish-owned company. That is an American-owned company. Goya's like the where you get all your Spanish seasonings from. I'm almost positive that that is not a Spanish-owned company. It has a Spanish name. It's owned by somebody else. And the other thing is the import and export of, when you get on the plane to leave Puerto Rico, you can't take a whole slew of like vegetables and a whole slew of fruit. And it's because they're trying to maintain control of the selling and the export of those things, because some company somewhere owns the right to export from the, it's crazy. It's crazy, the political stuff that's going on. But at the end of the day, no people should ever be as devastated as Puerto Rico was when that hurricane hit. Not an island that's like so rich in land, in the ability to do things themselves, in sun, in land, in vegetation. So I hope that answered your question. Any other questions? Did you remember?
Was Puerto Rico like a big island?
It is. If I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's 100 miles.
I think it's 100 miles long and 30 miles wide, or vice versa. About 100 miles in length and 30 miles in width. I think that's what I remember.
What state would it be equivalent to? Missouri? Not North Carolina?
No.
It said you could drive across it in 3 hours, right? You could drive across it in 3 hours, and then north and south you could do in what? Two? Something like that? Yeah. So think about this.
So the comparable states are Connecticut, Delaware, and Rhode Island put together.
It's small. Yeah.
It's comparable to Connecticut and bigger than states of Delaware and Rhode Island put together. So just imagine Connecticut, basically.
Yeah. Any other questions? So that's all we have for you. That's it. Thanks guys so much for coming, for going on the trip. And thank you guys for coming and listening. And come with us next year. Okay.
Bye, Sarissa.
Bye, guys.
Sarissa. Bye, Russell.
Bye, Sean.
Bye, girl.
Oh, hey, girl. Hey, baby brother.
What's up? How you doing? What's up?
Lord, brother.
Did you grow, or you're still short? What happened?
What? You're fine. You know how to be a beefsteak yesterday.
You had a beach day? Because you didn't show up when we invited you, huh? That's what happened?
Hey, I've been planning this for like a month.
I'm proud of you. Good job.
Oh, man. I miss you guys. Whoa.
Yes, ma'am.
Whoa. Ow.
Come on, man. You can't be falling.
All right, stay on your feet, young man. Don't fall off of them.
This is little one. This is Kaden.
Oh, this is little one. Hey,
yeah, that's the one.
We love you. Bye. Miss you.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye, honey.
Huh? I don't know when the next time I'm gonna see y'all. I feel like it's probably gonna be June.
Yeah. I mean, just let us know.
Yes, it's been rough around here, but
thanks for listening. I hope all of these stories have encouraged you to find out more about the different things that go on in Puerto Rico that relate to the disasters that Puerto Ricans have to deal with on a yearly basis. If you're interested in finding out more about Worship Puerto Rico, please feel free to visit www.worshippuertorico.com. We are in the process of preparing for our next trip, so find out more about the new volunteers that are attending with us this year. We are available on Instagram for you to follow our journey, Worship Puerto Rico, @Worship Puerto Rico on Instagram, and also on Facebook. You guys take care.